We will be in Luke chapter number 4 this morning. Good to see all of you here today. We're glad that you're here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. We want to welcome all of our visitors. Appreciate you being with us. Good to have a visitor all the way from Brazil come visit us. Thank you very much. That is good to have him come visit with us. And of course, all of our visitors. We're glad that all of you here got a good crowd this morning. And we're so thankful for you. Be in the house of God this morning here and worship with us. It was just good to be around God's people, understand the need of fellowship around God's people and the things of God. This whole world wears on us, rubs at us, and drains us of all usefulness for God if we allow it. Careful with that. Well, we had a good time of visitation Saturday. We had 14 folks come out and visit with us and go around and tell people about the Lord. I tell you, I'd encourage you to get involved in that. That is one way that you will find joy in serving God, and that is to be telling people about the love of Jesus, how God loved them so much that he gave his only begotten Son. They just put faith and trust in him. Repentance toward God that he would save their soul and they'd have a home in heaven forever. And I tell you, what a blessing it was to see those folks come out. And I'd like to encourage all of you to get involved in that. If you can't come when we have it, first and third Thursday evening, 6:45, second and fourth Saturdays at 9:45 in the morning. Take some gospel tracts on your own. There's plenty around. There's some here, some back there, over here on this side. And be faithful to tell people about what God has done for you. It's important. This whole world's trying to silence us as Christians and believers in Christ. And I tell you, one thing they cannot silence is the gospel message. As Jesus said, I'll tell you, he said this, if we close up our minds, even the rocks of this earth cry out. And I'll tell you, we need to be faithful. It's good to see that crowd. Listen, make it a habit in your life. Any opportunity you've got, you can give glory to God for what he's done in your life. I tell you, it's an amazing thing to see the change in someone's life whenever they come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. There was a Sunday school teacher teaching her 5 and 6 year old kids and discussing the Ten Commandments and going over the commandment about honoring thy father and thy mother and asking them questions so that they would understand it clearly. And then she asked it. The student says, is there another commandment that would help you to interact with your brothers or sisters? One little boy piped up, being the eldest of his home. He said, thou shalt not kill. So, you've got little siblings, you understand. Sometimes they take your toys and they bother you. I'll tell you, it ain't worth all that trouble. Matter of fact, it'd be better if you just let them have it. Help them enjoy it. Let them enjoy it. This next one, I don't know if we have any little girls like this or not, but if we do, we might have to switch them. No, we don't switch kids around here. We just fool around. That's a parent's job to take care of that business. A little 7-year-old girl came home from school and she admitted to her mom that little Billy Brown had kissed her after class. My mom said, well, how did that happen? Grasped for a little air, a little shock. And, that thought, the little girl said, it wasn't easy. You see, me and Susie and Tammy, we chased him down and held him, and I got him. Sometimes you have to get a little help to get what you want. Trust that you understand that you can get a little help in the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll help you get everything that you need. not necessarily what you want, because sometimes some of our wants are not imperative and not helpful many times to what we need and what would be help us as a Christian to walk closer with the Lord. And so He'll help you get everything you need to serve Him, to honor Him, to love Him, if you just lean upon Him and not your own understanding. Luke chapter number 4, we'll be in verse number 1, and when we get to verse number 8, when we get down to verse number 8, if you would, read that verse with me, verse number 8, Luke chapter number 4, verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship and serve. Excuse me, let's read that again, please, because I messed that up big time. Verse number 8, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Verse 14, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified. The temptation of the Son of God is where we're at in our studies through the book of Luke. We're in chapter number 4, going verse by verse through the chapter of the book of Luke. It, of course, it's not exhaustive. We could start right back over in chapter 1 and we could cover a whole lot more things of what we missed up to this point. Because it's an eternal book. It's a book that's alive. It's a book that if we take time in our daily lives, it will feed us and help us to grow closer to God, that we may learn more about that wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved our wretched souls. Now, Jesus Christ had endured temptation for one reason only, that was that he might fulfill Scripture. Because it was written in the Bible that he would be tried. And I'm telling you, he was a tried stone and he is the chief cornerstone. And so, to fulfill the Scriptures, if you would, hold your place there and look back over in Isaiah chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter number 28, verse number 16. Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 16. The Bible says there in verse number 16 of Isaiah chapter number 28, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Back over in Luke, if you would, Luke chapter number 20. Luke chapter number 20 and verse number 17. Luke chapter 20 and verse number 17. The Bible says there in Luke chapter number 20 and verse number 17. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 6, if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 2. That's where we should have looked a lot of scripture. Well, we're Bible believers. We need a lot of scripture to help us. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So he was tried so that he might be able to fulfill Scripture. And those are some passages of the Bible that helps us to understand that. And I'll tell you what, we have an high priest, according to the Word of God, that in all points was tempted, like you and I. Go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. And I'll tell you, it's a good thing to know that our Lord was tempted, that he could be touched by my infirmities. In Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. The Bible says there, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Did you notice that point? It said, was in all points tempted like as we are. That's to help us, to help us understand something. You notice there in the chapter which we read, Luke chapter number 4, after the fasting was over, the 40 days of fasting, what does it say there in verse number 2? The very last part says, he afterward hungered. So we have a God in heaven who sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come down upon this earth, to fulfill Scripture, to be contrary to the law, but to fulfill the law, that you and I might have a Lamb of God that was worthy and was the only one that could save to the uttermost and could atone for the sins of mankind. And I'll tell you what, if he was tempted like we are, we ought to be able to look into his temptations and see something in there that might help us as Christians. I'm telling you, some Christians have this idea that they are not going to be tempted. They're going to get saved, and everything's going to go all right. Everything's going to be smooth, and nobody's going to be a problem to them. They're not going to be a problem to nobody else. I'm telling you what, the Bible talks about Paul, and says this about Paul, that he had a thorn in his flesh. And he asked God, he said, God, please remove it. God, please take this away. God, please take this thorn out of my flesh. And God said, when you're weak, I'm strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. And I'm telling you something. If our blessed Lord and Jesus Christ was tempted here on this earth, then we must also expect temptation to come our way. Let me tell you something. It was not till after his baptism and the Spirit coming down upon him in the likeness of a dove did troubles come. At that point, we've gone from Luke chapter 1 all the way up to there. Up to Luke chapter 4. What happened last week? John baptized him. This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Trouble came. You know why a lot of Christians don't find trouble from the devil? Because they will not submit to the first ordinance of submission for Christians. That's believer's baptism. Well, I'm just saying it ain't important. I'm going to go to heaven any way it goes. You're right. Baptism will not get you any more into heaven. Dear friend, my Lord and Savior could submit himself for baptism. They give a commandment before he ascended up there on the Mount of Galilee and say, go into all the world and teach the gospel and preach the gospel and see them saved and trust me as Savior and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I mean, if he gave that commandment, you know what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we can learn from this. I see three things here, a threefold type temptation. I see a temptation of the body. I see a temptation of the soul, a temptation of the spirit in this temptation. Now, I have to assume, I don't have any Bible for this, so I'm assuming that in 40 days, that it was more than just these three areas. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in another portion of Scripture, if everything was written about the Lord Jesus Christ and he had done and said, not the books of the whole world could contain him. Now, was it only the three? Could have been. Could have been just those three. I don't know. But I'm just assuming that it was probably more because he was tempted in all points like you and I. But I see here a threefold temptation. Verses 1 through 4, I see the temptation of the body through bodily appetite. Well, we get that a lot, don't we? Verses 1 through 4, the Bible says that Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit. It's good to be led by the Spirit. I mean, too many of us, we run to and fro. We're double-minded. We go here, go there. I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God will lead us and direct us in our paths. Let the Spirit enter the wilderness. Is that kind of a contrary place to go? That's where God wanted him at that time. Sometimes your wilderness is where God meets you. Quit fighting the wilderness if that's where God's leading you. If he's not leading you, get out of the wilderness and get to where God can deal with your heart and get you right with him. Right. He led him by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2, being 40 days, tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Temptation of the body through bodily appetite. The temptation lasted 40 days. Being full of the Holy Ghost and being led by the Spirit, listen, does not exempt us from the temptation. You can be right with God and be following God and be doing everything God has asked you to do. And I'm telling you what, it does not exempt the temptation not come your way. It does not put you in a place where temptation does not lie at the door to try you. We have the very passage in front of us teaches us that. He was full of the Holy Ghost, he was led in the Spirit, and yet temptation found him. So, hey, sitting right here this morning, dear friend, listen, if you did not prepare before you came to church for what God would have you, you're at risk. You're at risk this morning. If you got up at 4 or 5 this morning and spent time praying, seeking God, and reading the Bible and spending time with Him and fellowship with Him and being kind and generous and being obedient to be a witness on your way to church, you're at risk of temptation right here in the house of God. Certainly are. Let me tell you something. We imagine that there were many, many more temptations than this. In times of bodily weakness, dear friend, I'm telling you, you'll find the devil there. In times of bodily weakness, you're going to find him there. Well, preacher, you know, I don't have to get things right with my brother or sister in Christ. I don't have to ask for an apology. Listen, you're spiritually weak. But you're bodily weak too. You know, people get sick. Right now we got a lot of sickness going around here. We're dealing with body temptation right here. It's easy, dear friend, I'll tell you something, in sickness to put faith and trust in only the medical system. It's easy, dear friend, to look at a bottle of NyQuil and say, well, that'll take care of all problems. Well, I don't think so. I done drunk like a gallon of NyQuil and put probably 40 NyQuil pills. The other day was driving back from a basketball game, and my wife, I was coughing and hacking and spitting out the window and all things. And my wife said, "Hun, take another cough drop." And Drew said, "Mom, he's done took 40 in the last hour. They're not a cure-all. Cough drops don't cure." Amen. For some reason or other, my wife thinks it's going to cure me. I'm telling you what, if you get weak in the body, I'll tell you something, dear friend. Temptation's there. And sickness. You notice around the folks get heart problems. They get cancer. They get pneumonia. Sometimes the first thing they do is forget about God. Listen, you need doctors. You need the wisdom of the medical side. We ask God, God give them wisdom. God help them. God guide them, direct them. I tell you what, we don't ever, never, never leave God out of the equation. Never. I'm telling you, the devil was trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ to satisfy his fleshly appetite by indulging. And this would have been indulging in food. I mean, how many of you right now here sit and believe that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, couldn't, if he desired, hey, stone, you're one to bread now. He could have done it. He could have done it. Well, preacher, that's just a little far-fetched. I have a God that was the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was there at creation. Amen. Colossians says, by him all things consist. Amen. It wasn't millions of years either. Right. 6 days, right. Things were created. Wasn't millions and millions and millions and millions. Struggle and struggle and struggle. Oh, no. On the seventh day, our God rested. He rested and looked, and all things were good that he created. I'm telling you what, there's many times in our weakness that God will, in our bodily weakness, that the devil himself will try to get us to indulge in things that are sinful. Let me tell you what, turning the stones into bread would not have been a problem at all for Christ, but I'm telling you what, He did not use his power for himself. He was here on this earth for one purpose, and one purpose only. That was to bring glory to his Father. The Word of God is more important than bread. You know what the amazing answer was here? What did he say? There's stones, turn them into bread. You're hungry? If you be God, don't get all pious at the devil. We do the same thing. God, show yourself strong and work this problem out if you can help. It's no difference in the words than what he said. If. Right. Who are we to command God to do anything different? We need to be thankful for the grace and mercy of God that he's extended in our life that we might be able just to enjoy eternal life. But you know what he said? Not only can you have eternal life, I've come that you might have life more abundant. Amen. You know what Jesus did? It is written. You know what that's found? Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 3. When bodily temptation arose upon our Lord Jesus Christ, he refuted that temptation with Scripture. With Scripture. Verses 5 through 8, dear friend, I see temptation of the soul through earthly ambition. Temptation of the soul through earthly ambition. Verse number 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. I'm telling you, the devil, dear friend, has great power over the kings of this world. The Bible says that he is the prince of the power of the air. Well, he wasn't necessarily fooling around with a spear that did not have something to do with him. Did not. I'm telling you, Jesus, listen to me, dear friend. Jesus is destined, dear friend, to rule over the kings of the world. You can find that in Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 9, Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. You know what the devil was trying to do here? The devil was trying to offer a crown to the Lord Jesus Christ without a cross. You know what? He was trying to offer a throne without a tomb. That's what he was trying to do. He came and he offered this here. Let me tell you something. Satan will use legitimate ambitions to bring about the downfall of Christians. Beware. Why beware? Your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He tried to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ with bodily appetite, fleshly appetite. Men, ladies, we're nowhere near the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have confidence in the flesh. Then he tried to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ with some ambitious road of security. There he is, looking at all the kingdoms in a moment's time. Just bow down and worship me. And all these will be yours. All these will be yours. I'm telling you what. Jesus answered him. And how did he answer him? With Scripture. With Scripture. Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Where's that found? Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse number 20. So bodily temptation, temptation of the soul to have some legitimate, listen, the Bible already said he was going to rule and reign over the earth and everything there. It just wasn't time. Hey, he's going to get a crown. But he had to go to the cross because that's why he came. There's come a time that you and I will lay our crowns at his feet. Hey, he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Third thing I see here is the temptation of the Spirit through intellectual curiosity. The tempter of the body, tempted of the soul, tempted of the spirit. The devil sought to get Christ to try a foolish thing to see if God would intervene. That's what it said there. What does it say in verses number 9 to 12? And he brought him up to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm going to tell you something. Many people seek an experience instead of taking God at his word. You've got to experience something before. You're into sensationalism. It's got to be the wow factor. Or there is no God. That's why our churches are going crazy. That's why the worship time in the house of God, many places called churches, is a place of sensation. It's a place of entertainment, because if they're not in movement of the Spirit, then the Spirit can't be moving. Well, I'll help you to understand that the Spirit of God is not here to get the body moving. It's here to get the spirit and the soul and the body into subjection to the things of God. And they tell you, you know what the temptation is, intellectual? Here it is, start thinking some preacher. Man, they sure are running about 500-600 over there and ain't been around for about 2 years. Wonder how they're doing. Well, they have their Thursday evening service. I'm going to go over and visit. And he goes in. The Spirit of God says, you are in the wrong place. But he sees all the people. Sees the crowd. Sees everything going on. He sees the drama, the entertainment. He sees the use of things which they call Scripture but leave out and adulterate the Word of God. And he comes back and begins to think. And then somebody in the church says, things ain't going too well as a pastor. Well, we're kind of not doing right, are we? Things kind of falling apart. We're missing some folks. And what is the intellectual? In the mind, he begins to ponder. Man, it is going pretty bad. He begins to look. He begins to search out. He begins to think to himself, man, let me see what they're doing. And begins to find all these programs that are programs without Scripture basis. And he puts them to work in his church. And yes, the church starts growing. You run over a dog, dear friend, and leave him on the side of the road, he will grow. He will swell up. But what's on the inside, you don't want out. Amen. He'll tempt you with foolish things. Satan misquoted a bunch of Scripture here, didn't he? You look at it. He misquoted a bunch of Scripture trying to bring the downfall of Christ. I'm telling you something. If he misquoted Scripture to Christ, dear friend, he will take and he will misapply Scripture to you, and you'll be led away and contrary to the Word of God. If you want to worship God, you better worship Him in spirit and truth. And if any portion of your worship hour, your church time is outside of the Scripture and outside of the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, it cannot be of God. And Jesus answered him. It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we've got a lot of churches tempting the Lord God. A lot. A lot. Three different temptations. And the answer of every temptation had a common denominator. What was it? Scripture. The Word of God. I submit to you, church, that if this is how the Lord Jesus Christ handled temptation, and it's written for an example for us to follow, there is no answer to our problems that is minus Scripture. Well, preacher, it's just a whole lot easier to follow the flow of things. Remember what I read you last week? And my soul followed hard in the Psalms. I endure hardness as a good soldier. You remove Scripture from your life, and you have the United States of America. Look at us. Take a look around. But I tell you, there's victory. Look at verse 13. Victory over temptation. I tell you, there's a result that will take place in your life if you center your life on the things of God and focus upon the principles and precepts of Scripture, dear friend, there is a blessed result that will come therein. Verse 13, the Bible says here, and when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. There'll come a point when the temptations of this world, the flesh, and Satan will cease for a season in your life. There'll come a point. That's the blessedness of standing fast on the Word of God. Why is there a season of no temptation that you might find rest and renew your soul, your spirit in the Lord for the next battle ahead? For the next battle ahead. Let me tell you something. He will return. It's not maybe. He will return to tempt again. Look with me over in Matthew chapter 26, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 41. Matthew 26, verse number 41. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's coming back around. But if you walk with God, you spend time in the Word of God, seasons of rest for renewal of your mind, your heart, your soul, your body. That's why church is so important, dear friend. That's why it's so important that you come away from this world, come in and join yourself together for Christian fellowship, for walking, for strength, for renewal, for gas to go on a little bit further. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. The power of the Spirit, dear friend, will bring manifestation and glorification to God. How do you know? Verse 15. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now listen, you Bible students, you understand something. That's the third part of the mission. They glorified. Just a week before they crucified him, they had palm plants and trees and glory to Hosanna to Isaiah. Hey, here comes the King! 1 week later, they killed him. Let me tell you something. The Word taught and Christ glorified, dear friend, will bring victory where victory seems impossible. The Word taught, Christ glorified, the Word received. What did he say? It is written. It is written. It is said. And he quoted Scripture to the prophet. And victory came. And God was glorified. All the trials you're going through, church, stick with God. The devil is a liar, a thief that cometh to kill and to steal and to destroy you. He will destroy your testimony and destroy your family and destroy your walk with Christ. He will destroy everything in your path and sit back and laugh when you're standing in the end. Wood, hay, and stubble. You'll be left standing. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And every man, boy, girl, and child will stand and give an account of themselves what they did in this body, whether good or bad. Temptations come in church. I'd be a foolish preacher to sit here and tell you that temptation will not try you. For some of you, temptation is lying at the doorway. It's there. You've toyed with it, you've played with it. You've looked at it, you've flirted with it, and it's there. When it is finished, it will destroy. Christ will give you victory. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, hands is coming. Church, there's nothing to be ashamed of in temptation. Nothing. It's there. It's going to be there, and it's going to stay there because we live in a body of flesh. The shame is when we fall for the lies of the devil, the flesh, and the appetite of the body. And it brings forth its fruit. I guarantee it's not the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It's anger, malice, and it's chiding and destruction. I don't know where you're at. If you're at temptations at your door, or if you walk past temptation, you've left it down, but whatever you've done, there's two things you need in life. You need Christ, and you need the Bible. What page, brother?
177.
177, church.